The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Hello, welcome to the 10th podcast in a series of 12. Ricky Gervais Show with me, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant.
Hello.
And, of course, Carl Pilkington.
Right.
Now, thanks for all your emails. We've really started a community here, I think.
Yes.
We're all brought together by one aim. The fascination of the brain of Carl Pilkington, basically.
Yes, absolutely. There's thousands of people who are equally as obsessed as we are with it.
I really don't know why it's called the Ricky Gervais Show anymore. I mean, I was cynical at the beginning, but it's farcical. Welcome to the Carl Pilkington Show.
Well, people say they'd like to hear more from you and I, but I don't see why when you've got this specimen in the room.
I feel like the ringmaster, but the real star is the shaved monkey in a jar that
yes,
we bring out. Do you
exactly.
know what I mean? Yeah. That's it. That's the star of the show, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we've had loads of emails, actually, and we've had one from Nige, who's done this brilliant cartoon of Carl on the beach. I think we should sell those as postcards. But someone's beaten us to selling merchandise. If you go to www.cafepress.com/Mr. Pilkington, someone is selling everything with Carl Pilkington's head on it. Now, these are bootleg goods. We're not making any money from it, but I'm strangely proud. I just love to see millions of people wearing a little T-shirt or a baseball cap or drinking out of a mug with his little round head on it. He's made a clock, which is perfect because it fits absolutely. You know what I mean? The sides of the head go right to the edge of the clock because it's perfectly
I'd
round.
Like to see maybe as well those sort of rubber or plastic face masks that you can buy for Halloween with just Carl's face.
Oh, just millions of people yeah. all look like Carl. Oh, that would be amazing. What a world that would be.
James Bevan has emailed in. He's from Abergavenny in South Wales. I'm going to read this verbatim. Me and my partner Ellie Richards are both huge fans of the podcast, and as she's not aware of this email, I would love it if one of you please on the podcast would ask her to marry me. So please ask Ellie Richards from Abergavenny if she will marry James Bevan. Cheers, well, keep up the great podcast work.
Well, that's done then.
Well, no, you see, now I was thinking about this, and I know that I'm the one who's read that out, but I'm thinking they're almost certainly going to want you, Rick, to do the questioning, because they don't want to go in years to come. Do you know who asked Ellie to marry me on my behalf? It was that lanky bloke you sometimes see stood behind Ricky Gervais at an awards do. It's too complicated. They want to go, it was the comedy legend Ricky Gervais.
But I think Carl's a comedy legend.
He is, but once again, Carl, you know, he might be a passing fad. You know, we might all get bored of him, you know, in a year's time. It could be like tie-dye t-shirts. So I'm thinking maybe, whereas you know, you've made your mark on the comedy
but
landscape.
I don't want to endorse this. I don't know what he's like. I don't want to suggest a woman to marry this man I don't know. What if she comes back and sues me for selling some? It's like me selling the rest of her life to this bloke on the podcast.
No, because you know it's more fool her if he's a loser and a weirdo and she agrees to marry him. She knows the guy. She's already got herself in a position where this man's emailing some people he's never met before. So she already understands what James is like.
Okay. Based on your own experiences, Ellie, make the decision. Whether to marry, who is it?
James
or not.
I think just could you, just, well, once more, because that's probably not quite as eloquent as they were looking
okay.
for. So get on one
Ellie,
minute.
Ellie, James says, will you marry him? This does not reflect the views of the management.
So obviously, James, you will obviously let us know what Ellie's response is. We look forward enormously to finding out whether she's seen sense and said no.
Could he marry again in about 40, 50 years to say if the marriage yeah. is still going?
And also, we should just point out as well that if, you know, because I think one in three marriages end in divorce.
All right, don't bring the tone down.
All I'm saying is if they do end up getting divorced, we should not in any way be responsible for that.
No.
We can't be held responsible. We shouldn't have to pay any kind of child support if there's a kid involved. We're not paying any alimony. We are merely the messengers in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carl, are you going to give them all the thumbs up there? Do you wish them all the best?
Yeah, you know, if that's what they want to do and that, just get on with it. And it's all right. You know, some people are into all that, aren't they?
I mean, you've been with Susanna a long time and still no wedding bells on the horizon.
Well, it's gone past that time now. I think if you don't do it within the first sort of 9 months or something,
right.
sort of, it's kind of like, what's the point now? And I mean, she goes on about it a lot, but... I'm not I don't like all the attention and that. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone stood there watching and stuff. That sort of puts me off.
So that's your only reason for not getting married, is it? You just don't like the event?
Mainly that, yeah. I mean, it's not the thing. Like I've said to you before, if you could do it online, If he was just a little box that you tick, sure. I do, send, get back to work by midday and what have you.
Yeah.
But it's like a full day and you've got to like smile and that.
Heaven forbid, yeah.
It's just hard work, isn't it?
It's the happiest day of your life.
But
yeah.
But surely, you know, if Suzanne, a woman you love, wants this very dearly, why not give it to her as a gift? Obviously get your old work to pay for it. But yeah, why not give her the gift
because
of
I've given her loads of other stuff.
Yeah.
We have an alright life and I think that can mess it up. My brother got married.
We have an alright life, that's the best he can say. We have an alright life.
No, yeah. What I mean, something I said to her, right, which, you know, maybe this could catch on, right? A way around it. At the end of the day, you only get married so you can have the same name. I think it'd be really good if when you go on dates and that, if you met people who have the same surname.
Brilliant.
And then you don't have to worry.
That's amazing.
Do a search on, like, other Pilkingtons. If they look all right, yeah, I'll go out with her. Job done. Don't ever have to worry about getting married and that.
Brilliant. That's one of the most stupid theories. Oh, no, it's not. The injecting the 78-year-old dead woman with a baby was probably worse than that. But anyway, let's move on.
It's the most stupid theory we've heard today.
Exactly.
But I'm suspecting there's going to be a few more before the end
of this
podcast.
So far. Yeah.
Cheers for that, love. Yeah, it's Carl Pilkington here, just telling you about Channel 4 on a Friday. You've got new Green Wing, right? That's nearly ready. My name is Earl, and the It Crowd. I mean, sort of being in the comedy business and that, I think it's fair to say I'm qualified to give my opinion, and these three things are funny, so yeah, stay in, watch it, have a good night, have a nice little brew with it, do what you want. At the end of the day, it's your life, innit? See ya.
Carl Pilkington!
The Ricky Gervais Show. On Guardian Unlimited.
Still to come, of course, Monkey News and Carl's diary, excerpts thereof. I wonder if we should have a jingle for questions for Carl, because there's a lot of questions coming in for Carl.
Okay.
Oh, chimpanzee, that question's for Carl.
Yeah, okay, no, fair enough, that works. Okay. This is from Jim and Bob in Manchester. Carl, if you could talk to any animal, which one would it be and what would you say to it?
Insect, animal, anything, fish, anything.
Well, they said animal, but that's broaden
well,
it
animal,
to anything.
Animal,
any creature.
Insect is an animal.
Yeah, no, but I'm just, you know, I don't want to get it wrong. I'm just thinking about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff out there, isn't there? I'd probably go for the tortoise.
Okay.
Because it would take a long time to walk away from you while you were talking.
No, yeah. Just because.
Most animals would be off straight away.
Yeah.
Just because they live for ages, so they'll have loads of stories. They've lived through a lot. You know what I mean? Through wars and stuff.
Well,
if you get an old one, that's about.
Yeah. Most of them have lived in a box in a garden for 52 years.
No, but you get some that have been about. And even if it's in a box,
oh, yeah.
You can overhear.
They've really travelled, have they?
Yeah.
I mean,
some of them have experienced more than you.
Yeah.
But they've broadened their horizons a bit more than you. They could probably teach you a thing or two, yeah.
And what would you hope to learn from them?
Just history.
Right. From their very specific tortoise perspective. Other emails. We've had a lot of questions about time travel. People are fascinated about your approach to time travel. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but this is a very specific time travel question. If you had a time machine, Carl, to what event in your childhood would you travel back to and why?
What's the point in going back to things that you thought? No, it's just that it's never as good, is it? It's like a place you go on holiday and you go back thinking it'll be as good as the first time. It never is. So I don't believe in going back to places.
What do you understand the question as? Do you think they're asking, would you go back like a ghost and spy? Would you go back and you've got your childhood back? You are that child again. You're in the body. You are the child. Or you've got your adult head and experiences. Well,
I really don't think Carl was thinking there was any of those variations. No, let's be honest. But now that you've flagged them up.
I think he was thinking of him as he is now in school with a cap on.
Yeah. Too big for the chairs.
Yeah. Come on.
No, I don't think I would go back. It's all happened now, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's an email to a podcast for our own amusement.
Well, okay. Well,
choose an event. Okay, forget the time travel thing.
No, hang on. I think let's clarify one of Ricky's points. What if you could go back and you could live that moment again? How would you do it differently?
There's been times where I've gone, oh, that was a bit out of order or whatever. But then you learn from your mistakes, don't you? So I don't want to go back and change stuff because it's like that thing that they go on about, isn't it, where they blame the butterfly on an earthquake. You know, it's going to happen. If it wasn't that butterfly, it's another one. So why pass the buck is what I'm saying.
So you've got no regrets. There's nothing in your past you'd want to change or do differently.
What about if you went back and you spied like a ghost on something? You couldn't change anything, but you could have a look at something and just sort of look like Ebenezer Scrooge does, the ghost of Christmas past. He goes back and he's sort of like looking at himself dancing and stuff. Or what would you do? What would you go back and have a look at?
Yeah, but you're asking me to change. I don't want to change.
You're not changing, you're just observing.
It's impossible.
All right,
it's not going to happen. You're not going to have to do this. It's impossible.
Right, yeah, I nearly died once, didn't I? On an ice pop.
Right.
Right. Now, maybe if I would have died, I'd say, well, let's go back to that and I won't have an ice pop.
You wouldn't be doing the podcast if you'd have died. You wouldn't be having this email put to you. What are you
talking
about?
That's absurd. You're now saying you're rewriting history and then going back to change it.
Yeah.
There's no need. You didn't die.
We've changed it. You can't change anything. You're just going to go back and watch them. Would you like to go back and watch yourself choking on a Mr. Freeze?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I wouldn't go back now, because I'm all right. I haven't had one since. I've learnt a lesson. I'm not missing them ice pops. So
I don't think you're making the most of this opportunity to fantasise.
I don't see the point in going back in anything. I mean, do you mean go back in time to the point of you can see, like, Rome in its working day?
What, in your childhood? Was Rome about when in your childhood? Were there gladiators
in
your childhood?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everything I've been through, so why see it again?
Forget it. It was just a nice little question.
I mean, that shows the lack of imagination in Carl Pilkington. Your mind can't fathom something unless it's, like, you know, got two heads.
But I don't see the point in doing something twice. Because the thing is, say if this one good moment when I was about six that I loved, I'd then have to go through all the other 20 years again.
Well, why? Why have you imposed that? This is a fantasy. Make up.
You could go back and come back again.
Yeah, whiz back and fast forward 35 years.
Nah.
Brilliant. No. Like it was on offer. Like this was really on offer. Move on.
Migrant workers in South China are wearing adult diapers on packed trains heading home for the New Year holiday because they've got no access to the toilet. Many supermarkets in this particular part of China have reported a 50% increase in sales of adult nappies for the train trips. Now, what do you make of that, Carl? You're on a long, long train journey. 3 hours, 4 hours.
You know there's no toilet. You know you're going to need to go. Pop on a...
Why isn't there any toilets?
They just aren't on the trains.
And they're a really long journey.
Yeah.
How long?
Hours.
Well, very long in China. It's a big country.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. I'd have to hold it in or something. Just like, I mean, when I was a young kid, I don't know how young you are when you wear a nappy and that, but I remember that I didn't like it doing it in a pair of pants like that, a pair of nappies and that. And I used to have to, even when I was too small to sort of get up on the toilet and that, because you'd fall in, my mum knew that I didn't like nappies and that. I used to just go in the corner, just near the kitchen, in this thing that, like a litter tray. That cat's having that. I mean, it wasn't like that, but it's that's you know, that's the same sort of idea. And I'd go there and I'd do my thing. And you know, my mum used to say, oh, he's going there, don't look at him and that, because it put me off. You know, like cats don't like being watched when they do it.
When they go in their litter tray in the kitchen.
No, they don't like it. I've tested it again.
What are you, just like a little feral kid, just running around and going for the litter tray, covering it up and then running up the curtain and eating a sweet at the top of the pelmet?
No, but nobody likes being watched, and that's what I'm saying. If you're sat on a train and you're knocking one out and that, and everyone's looking at you, I don't think it'll catch on.
Well, it has caught on.
They're all doing it.
They're just sitting there. They're doing, you know, they're reading the paper, doing Sudoku, and they're looking round when they're going. They're thinking, oh, no one knows I'm going. Everyone's thinking that, and everyone's going.
I mean, it's partly because there are 120 million peasants from China's vast rural areas who swarm into the cities for work. And so, you know, that sheer number of people means that the trains are so overcrowded.
I just don't... What are we getting to? You know what I mean? What's going on in the world that this is happening?
I know.
I mean, people have always had to travel for ages. I just don't understand why there isn't a toilet on it. We're going backwards. We're going backwards. Aren't we? Why isn't there a toilet on it?
Well, maybe there is, but maybe people are thinking the queue is going to take forever. If you've got 125 million people
going
back.
Yeah, but not everybody wants to go at once. I mean, I know Chinese and all that are like at the forefront of everything that goes on in the world, inventing stuff first, but this isn't one of the best that they've come up with.
What have they invented then, the Chinese? Just
loads of stuff, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, you seem quite educated on the subject. But...
They've had them cat mop things that I told you about.
Brilliant.
Where you put mops on the feet of cats, was that right?
Yeah. And they wander about the house, clean up and that, wash the floor for you whilst they're pottering about. they've done, like, hats with umbrellas on them. They're known for, like, coming up with stuff first.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought was gunpowder, but, yeah, cats with mops is good as well.
just a final mention of one of the emails that came through from Phil Hobby in Falmouth in USA. He says, hello, chaps. Just wanted to let you know that I was at a party on Friday, and I bought two remixes of I Could Eat a Knob at Night on a CD. Let me tell you, I played them at the party. They were a huge success. They were a smash. By the end of the night, the party was hip to the words I Could Eat a Knob at Night. Half of them were even singing along. So big thanks to you, Ricky, Stephen, Carl. Now, what would be ideal, of course, I suppose, is one of the big superstar DJs, if they could drop that into their set. You know, a Carl Cox, a Fatboy Slim.
Tong.
Pete Tong,
the boy Tom.
He got power, and I'd love to hear him drop it. And I suppose Westwood wouldn't be able to put that in. I know he's more of a hip hop guy, but if you at any point ever hear I Could Eat a Knob at Night, the remix at any kind of club event, let us know. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Well, now to one of our most popular features. I mean, this could even rival monkey news one day. It is monkey news. It's news from the point of view of a monkey, a shaved monkey. It's Carl Pilkington's diary. Oh, he's written it down! Yeah!
Was that the jingle, or were you just,
well, yeah,
just annoyed about
sort of.
Okay. Went and did the podcast. We had a meeting after. I don't like meetings, as I can't keep focused on what people are talking about. I think Ricky has the same problem as after 25 minutes he was trying to wrestle me. I tried to do what spiders do and stayed still as if I was dead. But Ricky just stayed on top of me, not moving. A bit like when you see one of them big snakes swallowing a sheep. Ricky got bored and released me. I went home thinking, why had I left my old job for this? A homeless man asked me for some money, but I didn't feel like I should treat him as I felt that he'd probably had a better day than me.
Oh, God.
Suzanne called me to say she'd gone for a haircut and that she'd meet me in the supermarket. I went to the supermarket, but she wasn't there. I called her and she said she was near the fruit aisle. I went to the fruit aisle and she wasn't there. Turns out she was in a different supermarket on the other side of town. And that if I'd listened to her properly, I'd have known that. I didn't want
to
say that.
What, you just went to the first supermarket you thought of, as opposed to listening to what supermarket? I'm in the supermarket. All right, bye.
I didn't want to say that I hadn't heard her properly, because my ears were ringing a bit from the wrestling from earlier. 25 minutes later, I met up with Suzanne. Her haircut wasn't that bad. Normally, her haircuts are followed by an argument between us, as she pays over the odds for some daft haircut that's the latest style.
Brilliant.
I wish she'd take a picture out of a magazine or ask for a style, rather than letting the hairdresser do what she wants. I said I only tell her to do this as she's got a square head and a close-cut hairdo makes it look squarer. She said, what do you think of this cut? I said it looked all right, as I couldn't be bothered arguing about it. It's weird writing a diary. I don't know who thought of doing one of these first. The last time I did one was at school. They used to get you to do it so they could keep an eye on whatever you were up to. My diary used to say the same thing every night. Got home, went to the shop to get potatoes, bread, milk. Went home, watched telly, went to bed. I think I might have gone to Twiggy's Dance Club just so I had something different to write. You've not told us about Twiggy's Dance Club.
It's just, I sort of, when I was a kid, I sort of gave everything a bit of a go. I did boxing and that, didn't I? Gave that a go.
For about 45 minutes.
And, a mate sort of said, oh, you know, you're into your dancing, your robotics and that. You're doing your body popping, right? Body popping and that. He said, you ought to come to Twiggy's. And I went there. But I didn't go in, it was shut. They were just having, like, loads of toilet rolls delivered. I think, like, they were, like, using it as a storage place for toilet rolls and that. So I said, oh, I've come to have a dance. And like, oh, not tonight, come back tomorrow. I never went back.
Brilliant. Next. What a waste of an anecdote.
Right.
Brilliant.
Just to recap, you're convinced then that the teachers are asking you to keep diaries so they can keep tabs on you. And then to continue the diary, as there were more problems happening on the estate, they started to add Saturday and Sundays to the school diary to keep an eye on what we were doing at the weekend. I struggled to fill it on a Sunday, as the shop I got potatoes and bread from was shot on a Sunday. I had to go over to Shepherd's Bush to meet someone. I got the tube. There was a badly burnt man on the tube. It's amazing how the body can continue through quite a lot of bad stuff. It got me thinking about how much stuff you could remove in your body, one by one, without dying. If it was a competition, the cockroach would win, as it can live for a week without a head.
I just mean, like, say if, you know, they run out of ideas for TV programmes and that, right? They get someone who isn't well. They go, look, do you mind if we make a programme on you? And what they do, they sit them in the bed, and they go, right, what we're going to do now is tech out the heart, but replace it with a pacemaker. Right,
No. Sorry. People with pacemakers don't have their heart taken out and a pacemaker popped in.
All right, then. Some sort of machine. What I'm getting to is...
Have you been playing Operation?
What I mean is... what I mean is the big finale would just be a head chatting with loads of wires going into it, and it's like, look what we can do with science.
That's what the programme's called. It's the same every week. The volunteer is just a head with loads of wires coming out
look
of it.
Look what we can do with science.
And he's going,
goodbye.
Oh, I feel ill.
Got some post delivered to me today. It was... oh, this is
this
great.
Makes it in the diary.
Got some post delivered to me today. It was addressed to Mr. Dilkington. I got some post delivered to me today. It was addressed to Mr. Dilkington. I opened it and the first sentence read, Dear Mr. K. Dilkington, you're one of our most valuable customers. I put it in the bin. Thought I would learn some new words, as Steve always says I don't use enough different words. I read in the Fortean Times that the word wew means an ugly female ghost with drooping breasts.
What do you mean?
Is that how I'm pronouncing that right?
Who's using that word?
Who is using that word?
It was just W-E-W-E.
Let's call it a woo. Mm. An ugly female ghost with drooping breasts. I think I'm right when I say there are too many words in the world. I don't think I will ever get round to using the word woo. Watched a health programme. Wasn't watching it properly, but heard some doctors say that we only get so many heartbeats in a lifetime, so don't do too much exercise. I told Suzanne, and she said I probably hadn't heard it right. We got talking about death. Suzanne said she didn't like thinking about it. I said she might end up being a woo. I was chuffed as I'd managed to use my new word. I went to the supermarket to get tonight's tea. On the way, I stopped and looked in the fishmongers at all the different fish they had in the window. It's like a child in one of those kids' TV shows.
I know!
Mr. Pilkington went to the fishmonger. He stopped and looked at all the fish in the window.
Hello, Mr. Dilkington, they said.
There was a newspaper clipping stuck on the glass about a two-headed fish that they've made in Taiwan. I don't see the point in doing this, as a fish having two heads ain't going to solve the world's hunger problems, as the head is the bit you throw away. Invent a fish with two bodies, and I'd say well done.
Good point, though, isn't it?
Suzanne watched one of her favourite TV programmes. I've told her the telly only goes on if there's something she wants to watch. If there's nothing on, she has to talk to me about stuff I've learnt. Like Descartes. Watched a programme on him the other day. He is the one who said something like, I know I'm about because I dream. Doesn't work for everything because ants don't sleep. I don't know if I'd like that or not. You don't know if you would like it if you didn't ever
I'm
sleep.
Not sleeping. It's just one long day. I don't know. Don't know how you put up with that. Do you think it'd be a good idea?
No.
Why not?
Because, as you said, it would get a bit boring. You know, your sleep is your rest, your time off. It helps you detoxify. It helps you sort of think things through on a subconscious level.
You ever get it where, I mean, sometimes it's brilliant to have a sleep when you're tired, but don't you sometimes feel
that's
like...
That's the best time to have a sleep when you're tired.
No, but sometimes when you go to bed and you're not that tired and you're kind of thinking, oh, I'm going to waste some hours of my life now and I'm not really in the mood for this.
Well, that's just wishing you had longer on this earth doing creative things. I mean, if you didn't have to sleep, you could spend more time talking to a tortoise and going to the toffee shop.
All right, just... just doing a little advert for Friday Night Comedy on Channel 4. I mean, I don't know what you're doing. You might be going out and that, doing something nice, which, you know, if you are, then fair enough, go out. But I'm just saying, if you're staying in, you've got new Green Wing, right, that's nearly ready. Got My Name Is Earl, The It Crowd, all funny stuff and that. Don't know about you, but, you know, I'll be staying in watching it, just having a bag of crisps and stuff. So if you're staying in, put the telly on, do that. If you're going out, go out, have a nice night. See you later.
Well, it's that time again. If you'd give us the jingle, please.
Oh, chimpanzee dive. Fucking news!
Okay, now that surely cannot be fair on anyone's ears listening.
Right, ages ago, right, about the 1950s.
Oh, yeah.
There was this gangster knocking about. And do you know how, like...
Was he called Hairy Fingers?
Do you know how, like, a lot of gangsters like to get into gambling and that?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like, all these peers and that, all these mates who are, like, gangsters and stuff, they've all bought horses, right, that they take, you know, tech racing, and they make money from them, and that, don't they?
Yeah. Mm.
So anyway, he
and
was
Chuckles
like,
Seagull was no different.
And he was like, yeah, that's a good thing to get into. I might get into a bit of that, right? So he gets himself this horse, right? And there's a big race coming up. That's why he's sort of he's a bit of a last minute.
And the jockey turns up and it's fine. He's a human jockey and it's fine. Excellent. Okay. Well, that was another podcast.
So anyway, so
please listen.
There's more.
Oh, go on.
So anyway. This big race is coming up. He's like, I've got to be involved in this because I can make a lot of money out of my horse here.
Choose the jockey wisely, then.
So he says to his, like, mate, he said, look, I've got myself a horse and that. He said, we just need a jockey, get someone to sort it out and what have you, so I can get in this race. So,
yeah, the jockey club.
His mate's like, yeah, all right, I'll have a word and that, have a look round and that, see if there's anyone decent.
And the good thing about jockeys is there's never been a shortage of jockeys because a lot of them don't make the grade. So there's always too many jockeys to go round.
Normally always too many human jockeys.
Yeah, there's never a problem getting jockeys.
Fine.
Go on.
So anyway, so he comes
Was that
back-
true in the 50s as well?
It's always been
it's
true.
It's always been true. It's always been true.
There's no lack of jockeys.
So,
it's sort of close shot. People are trying to do it, and they don't make the grade. So,
but in the 50s, from your knowledge, there was not like in 1951 a shortage of jockeys for just one year.
Absolutely never. I've known about
okay,
that.
Fine,
I'm quite keen.
Right.
Go on.
So anyway, right. So his mate says, "Look, I'm having a problem getting a jockey."
Seems odd because Ricky's just
weird.
Been saying, he's just been saying there's not a problem.
What do you mean? So
just because the main problem was,
go on.
A lot of jockeys were aware of this gangster and were saying, "I'm not getting involved with this guy. The chances are, I won't get paid." You know, is a gangster, it's not worth it.
No, you would do it if it was a gangster asking you. You'd be scared of the consequences.
So anyway, he's saying, look, don't be coming to me with problems and that, right? I've got the horse, I want it in the race, sort it out. So they're like, oh, but boss, and he's like, don't give me any of that.
Exactly, they do what he says, so any jockey would do it. Go on.
So anyway, so the day before...
The big race, yeah. Left it to the last minute, okay, but fine.
And, he says, have you got a jockey then? They're like, yeah, but... And he's going, don't worry about it. Have you got a jockey? Yeah, but... And he's like, well, look...
He wants to say, sure.
He's saying, has he ridden their horses before and that? He said, well, yeah, he has, but mainly... And he's like, oh, brilliant. And he goes, yeah, but mainly in, like, a
in
circus.
In the jungle...
No, like, in the circus and that. He'd worked with horses and stuff.
In the circus.
It's fine.
So he's like, that's enough. That's all I need to know.
Well, they'd be too heavy, because circus... People are quite built, aren't they? They're a bit heavier than the jockey, because the jockeys are about 8.5 stone.
He said, brilliant. Get him down there and that, right? Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the race happens.
He didn't want to meet him beforehand? He wasn't worried
no
about
point,
it?
Not no point. Not bothered. No. As far as he's concerned, he's putting his money on it and what have you.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
What happened is they were trying to make him put on the jockey outfit.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it didn't fit that well.
Sleeves too short, legs too long.
It's that sort of problem.
Okay.
So they let him, like, you know, wear his stuff that he wore in the circus and that, because it's comfortable with that, he's happy with it, do you know what I mean? That's what he's happy with. Yeah. Anyway, race starts and what have you. This horse, straight out of the trap and that, high speed, right? This jockey's got a really big grin on his face, he's loving it, right? Everyone's cheering, going, who is this? Who's this jockey here?
Yeah.
It's amazing, never seen him before, and yet, look at him.
But they can see his face, clearly.
Anyway, gangster's happy in that, because he's won.
Well, I just want to say, the crowd can see the jockey, can they?
What?
The crowd can do, I mean, it's
yeah, but he's
not
so fast and what have
the
you.
Blur, it's a blur, it's all a blur.
He's good at it. I mean, apparently he was close to falling off and people were like, he's gone, he's a goner.
Right.
But he's got such a good reach that he managed to grab hold of
the... Good reach.
And right, well, they could tell he was smiling, but they couldn't see the detail of his face, is that right? Just to clarify that?
It's just blur and that.
Sure, but they could tell he was smiling, yeah. They knew he was happy.
at the end of it, do you know, like, the winner sort of rides around the crowd bit, yeah, like, sort of, you know, show off and what have you.
Yeah.
And all the women are there, and do you know, like, women are all dolled up at these events?
Sure.
Yeah. They've all got big, big hats on.
Sometimes they got through on those hats.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, yeah. Right.
One of the women,
Carmen Miranda was very popular.
Yeah. One of the women had like you say, fruit and what have you on it, yeah. little banana.
Right, some kind of
Cuban. They're not real though. The hats though, they're
not real fruit, is it?
No, yeah. Of course not. Never. So
but I don't know who. I thought they wore those sort of kind of Cuban,
yeah,
entertainment shows. I didn't realise they wore them at events.
Even if it's like a big event, you know, you might have a hat with fruit, and it's sort of joke, but it's fake fruit because it would perish.
Well, this jockey didn't understand that. He'd never seen false fruit.
I don't understand.
But why did the jockey suddenly, why was he so desperate for fruit? I don't understand.
So anyway, so meanwhile, the gangster's collecting his 500 quid winnings. Yeah. Right, he's over the moon.
Yeah.
He kicks off because of this woman with the fruit.
Yeah, I don't understand. I still don't understand where the jockey would go.
Everyone noticed. Jockey, little monkey fella.
Oh, that makes sense. If he was a monkey, that would make sense.
Yeah.
What year was this? Because I want to.
It was 1950s, and that's where the saying comes from about, you know, like in Cockney slang, 500 quid is a monkey. He sort of put a monkey on it, and it all goes back to the time.
So this happened in England.
In this country, yeah, in 1950s.
England. So someone could well still be alive that we could easily contact. That
well,
would
that's it. We
that
always, you know, there's no time length on this monkey news if you've got any. If it's history, you know, if it goes back.
Or
you know,
if it's made
ago,
up, bullshit.
Just send it in.
If it's bollocks,
if you've got any bollocks,
if it's absolutely bollocks, please send it in.
That's this week's Monkey News.
RickyGervais.com. Well, that's the end of the 10th podcast in the series of 12. Only two more to go. One more hour of the drivel that is the thoughts of Chairman Pilkington, or Dilkington, as he should now be known. This podcast was brought to you by Positive Internet. Those great guys at Positive Internet host the world's number one podcast. It's goodbye from me, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant.
If you want to get in touch, remember it's podcast@rickygervais.com.
And Carl Pilkington.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.